This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on WRKF. Your number's 877-217-5757, and you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Mike Berto is slated to be our first guest of the week, one of our faves, and we'll talk about that. But certainly hats off to the New Orleans Saints, who won their eighth game in a row yesterday, defeating Cincinnati 51-14, a good Cincinnati team, a winning team. So right now the Saints appear to be as good as anybody in the league, and we'll see if it lasts. And LSU rebounded from a 29-0 debacle at home to Alabama to defeat the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville 24-17. Arkansas, not a very good team this year. They've only won two games, but that series between LSU and the Razorbacks is much tighter than many might realize. Since 1992, when Arkansas joined the SEC, LSU's won 17, Arkansas's won 10 times, and LSU winning at Fayetteville on Saturday. Again, 877-217-5757 for Mike Berto, Chief Healthcare Economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. And before we start talking about the intricacies of the Affordable Care Act, as we know, there have been efforts to undo it. In the Senate, it fell one vote short of being undone. Both John Neely Kennedy and William Morgan Cassidy of Louisiana voted to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, which meant that it would have done away with coverage for pre-existing conditions and any number of things that Obamacare brought to our world. But there was a vote last week, and Democrats have regained control of the U.S. House of Representatives. Mike Berto, does that mean that any prospect of doing away completely with so-called Obamacare is off the table?
Yeah, I believe so. When I look across the political landscape now, I don't see as much potential for agreement on any manipulation of the healthcare marketplace. I think we'll continue to deal with regulatory action, which I think will be met immediately by legal action, you know, on the other side. Over the next 2 years, I'm not expecting us to have a huge number of changes to the marketplace, but I am expecting a lot of noise around court cases and regulatory action that's already been taken.
Now, many Republicans across the country ran on a plank saying that they would certainly protect coverage for those with pre-existing conditions. That seems to be something that now is here to stay.
Yeah, it's a challenging concept if you've spent any time in the insurance business. Asking for protection of pre-existing conditions is a little bit like asking a company to insure the accident you had 2 years ago or a year ago. So from an insurance company perspective, it's challenging to balance a risk pool to keep insurance affordable and allow people to bring their pre-existing conditions into the market. But about 90% of the people in Louisiana who have an insurance card get it at work, and work-based coverage always covers pre-ex nowadays. Under the ACA, they kind of pushed it to the last mile, but it had always been a feature of employer-sponsored insurance.
Now, there are these short-term insurance plans. How are those working?
Well, it's a new marketplace. Basically, when you look at the individual market, you have qualified health plans. These are the ones defined by the ACA. They have very broad coverage. They have a guarantee of insurability at any point in time, and everybody can get into that market, especially during an open enrollment period, which is where we are today, from 11-1 to 12-15. Short-term medical policies were designed to be bridges to get you from one form of permanent coverage to another. So if you lost your job or you lost your insurance at work and it wasn't open enrollment yet, or you weren't ready to commit to a big insurance plan, you could, if you were healthy, buy a 90-day insurance plan that would hold you long enough so you could get to the next step, whatever that would be. A regulation passed in July now allows short-term medical plans to be sold and extended for up to 11 months plus. So now I can buy these non-standard policies in lieu of regular insurance and keep it for almost a year. The important thing to remember about that is when we had an individual mandate, a law that said you had to have coverage, these policies didn't count. So you would still get fined even if you bought one. Fines become zero on January 1st for the individual mandate. So now it's not as relevant which one you buy.
Will that change the world, the fact that there will not be an individual mandate?
Well, it will change people's attitudes, I think, about health insurance. There's probably a small part of the marketplace, maybe 4 or 5%, who were buying coverage strictly because their tax guy told them it was a better deal to buy than not to buy. But the fines were never that big compared to the cost of a policy, and there were always exemptions, creeping exemptions, mm-hmm. that were added to it every year. Today, there are 29 different ways to get out of the fine, and some mm-hmm. of them are quite easy to access. So from my perspective, I never felt like the mandate had that much teeth in the first place.
Now, the governor's election in Louisiana is it's 11 months from today, not
yep.
1 year. It's October 12th, not
right.
November 12th. There may be a runoff, but October 12th, 11 months from today, we'll be voting for governor, and it quite likely will be a contest largely between John Bel Edwards and John Kennedy. John Bel Edwards, as we know, accepted the Medicaid money that Bobby Jindal would not, and John Kennedy says that was a terrible mistake. If the Medicaid money under Obamacare goes away, as it probably would under Governor Kennedy, what would that do to the health care market in Louisiana?
Well, I believe the Medicaid program is a critical function for many, many people in the state. Just since the expansion was put in place in July of 16, 480,000 Louisianians have added coverage under this Medicaid program. More than 10% of the state, look at it that way, is now on Medicaid that wasn't on Medicaid
two years ago.
Just from the expansion. The total number is about 1.7 or 1.8 million of the state that's on Medicaid today. So the good news is this coverage is providing health care for people who never had it before, and it's changing their lives. The bad news is it's a lot easier to expand coverage than to pay for it. So what we've got is a situation now where as this part of the population grows, mm-hmm. when they access care out in the medical community, the Medicaid program pays significantly below wholesale for that care. So every time the Medicaid patients show up at a hospital or in a doctor's office, the amount of money that's being transferred to them isn't covering the cost of their care. And if they can't do something to reconcile that balance, it has the potential to disrupt Medicare and the private insurance market because of these large gaps between the cost of actually providing care and what Medicaid will pay.
All right. Medicaid is a huge part of the Louisiana budget. It's the biggest single entity. But that was the case before these 480,000 people were brought onto the rolls. What has that done to drive up costs? If anything, the governor says that it's largely paid for by the federal government.
Yeah.
Is he right?
Yes. Well, you know, we're all the federal government to an extent.
We are, but we would be paying this anyway, right?
Right. We derive a huge benefit from being Louisiana. If you're not aware, today, for every dollar Louisiana sends up to Washington in tax revenue, we draw down from D.C. almost $3. So we're getting a great deal. If you ever hear anybody say, don't let your tax dollars go to another state, that is impossible, okay? We get the best deal of any of the states if you look at money sent to Washington and money coming back down. The Medicaid expansion is essentially federally funded. Right now, 94% of the cost comes directly from D.C. to us. The 2018 requirement is that we cover 6% of the cost of care for those 480,000 new people. Now, you can compare that. The amount
now that would be a substantial amount, 6% for
400. 6% could be a couple of $100 million.
Correct.
But don't forget the state put a tax in place 2 or 3 years ago, a hospital bed tax and a tax on insured lives to cover the gap, to cover the 6%. And in 2020, it's 10%. It goes up a little bit every year.
Well, Governor Jindal didn't want it and didn't take it, and Governor Edwards, of course, changed paths, and he was joined on the campaign trail by Republicans Jay Darden, Scott Angell, and even David Vitter, who said they would take the money. They might have done it in a different way, but John Neely Kennedy has said this is a bad deal. We've got to do something about Medicaid, and we should not have taken the money. This could end up, Mike, being the biggest issue in the governor's election of 2019.
Yeah, I could see that becoming a focal point of debate going forward. But honestly, can you really visualize someone being elected by saying, I'm going to take health insurance away from 400,000 people? I mean, that's pretty challenging.
I don't think he would phrase it quite like
no,
that.
No, probably not.
And
but
he might say, look.
But everybody else would, right?
These people would be eligible for other benefits, wouldn't they?
Well, not direct healthcare benefits. If I shut off the Medicaid expansion, the way it works now is you've got a big category of folks who qualify for Medicaid because their income is below a threshold. There's no special requirements on this population. They don't have to be disabled or blind or pregnant women or low-income kids. They just look at their tax return. It's very simple. Is it below 138% of the federal poverty line? Yeah, then everybody in the household is in Medicaid. If you're above, the answer is no. You move over to the exchange and you draw down federal money there. So it's pretty straightforward how the expansion works.
Well, Mike Berto says 94% of the cost of these 480,000 people being involved in Medicaid expansion in Louisiana goes from the feds to us, flows from the feds to us. Should we keep that or should we do away with it, as Senator Kennedy recommends? 877-217-5757. We'll be back after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and our guest for a while longer is Mike Berto, Chief Healthcare Economist for Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana. 14 years he has been with the state's largest insurer. And as we went to the break, we were talking about Medicaid expansion. 480,000 Louisiana citizens have taken advantage of this federal program under Obamacare. And if the governor's election is between John Kennedy and John Bel Edwards next year, then this could become a huge issue, with 94% of the cost being fulfilled by the federal government. A listener notes that it would be the same if it's Ralph Abraham against John Bel Edwards. Okay. And also, a listener notes that this money under Obamacare is tax money. You made reference to that. It's not like the government isn't getting money from its citizens, but it's doing so in a different way. This is not a state tax initiative.
No, it's federal money, but the last time I checked, the Fed was running $1 trillion deficit, was
right.
it? So,
and this,
I mean, we have to be cognizant of the
fact
that.
Is adding to it, I'm
right.
sure,
yeah.
because a lot more people are being covered at a cost. But it is not the state of Louisiana that is picking up the lion's share of this, and Governor John Bel Edwards has said it's a good deal, and many Republicans agree with him, but others say, look, we've got to draw a line, and at some point people are gaming the system. And in fact, I have an email regarding that from Jessica. Is it possible to game the system on this?
I don't know. Because of the way the state handles Medicaid now, they essentially have outsourced Medicaid to private insurance companies. So, you know, the managed care organizations provide a huge service to the state by limiting the state's risk. The state gives these MCOs a fixed amount of money per person every month. And then no matter how much health care that person drives into the system, the state doesn't have to compensate them anymore. So they give them a fixed amount of money every month. And if that person's really ill and they drive up a huge amount of cost, the insurance company eats it. So the state can pay a fixed amount and then transfer that liability onto private companies, and they're done. And it's very valuable to the state to be able to manage that risk and manage that cost.
877-217-5757 is your number for Mike Berto. He'll be with us a little longer. And talk at talklouisiana.org. And Holly asks more about this short-term medical insurance plan that you discussed.
Yep.
This sounds like something that might be too good to be true, but is it a viable option?
Well, I'm going to publish a Straight Talk piece on straighttalkla.com next week, giving in great detail who should buy short-term medical and who should avoid it. It is not for everyone, but a quality short-term medical product could be right, really good for the right person. First of all, when you buy individual coverage on the ACA, on healthcare.gov, there are no medical questions asked. You're in, done. When you buy short-term medical insurance, you will be underwritten, and they will take a look at your prescription history. And if you've got significant health concerns, they can tell you no, you can't have this policy. Or they can rate it up and charge you a little more. That's the bad news. The good news is, once you pass that underwriting, the policy might be 40 or 50 or 60% cheaper than what you would get on healthcare.gov. So if you're the kind of person that's not receiving significant tax credits from the ACA and you're relatively healthy, a high-quality short-term medical product like we are selling at Blue Cross. We have gone way out of our way to make this short-term insurance as close to ACA coverage as possible. And it's really could be the right policy for the right person. But there are certain groups of people I just wouldn't recommend it to. If I was a pregnant female, no way would I buy a short-term medical mm-hmm. policy because the maternity coverage is not very good. If I was an adult with a newborn under age one, you won't save any money buying short-term medical insurance. If I was someone who had a lot of health conditions or had drugs that I take on a regular basis that are very expensive, you need to stick with ACA coverage. In other states, this approach has been criticized because they say, well, you're just trying to skim the good risk off of the exchange. Well, we're the biggest provider on the exchange, and we've noticed that healthy younger people are bailing from healthcare.gov, and we're just trying to give them an avenue to get back into the insurance okay. marketplace.
And this open enrollment for health at healthcare.gov, Medicare Advantage, it's through December 15th, which means a month and 3 days from the deadline. How significant is that deadline?
Well, it's a huge deal because the rest of the year, if you want to buy health insurance without regard to your pre-existing conditions, you have to be able to prove to the government that you had a legitimate change in your life status to get you in to the marketplace. But between November 1st and December 15th, no reason needed. You can go online right now, sign up for health insurance. It'll be effective on January 1st, and you don't have to have some significant life changes. This is literally open enrollment.
877-217-5757, Barry in Mid-City. Good morning, Barry. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mike Berto.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I am a Medicare person, and I have Blue Cross Blue Shield, thank goodness, and I have Blue Cross Blue Shield supplemental. I don't understand why my wife and I are getting so many advertisements, either HMOs associated, I believe, with Blue Cross Blue Shield or other friendly competitors of Blue Cross Blue Shield. I won't name any, but there's one or two that are very prevalent. And I'm confused about their coverage, what would be different or added on that I don't get already with the coverage I'm pleased to be getting, thank God, from Blue Cross Blue Shield.
This is an excellent question. Most of the companies that offer substitutes for Medicare, legal substitutes for Medicare, are not allowed to advertise by the federal law during the year. They are only allowed to really advertise in a very narrow space of time that's called Medicare's open enrollment period, which starts on October 15th and ends on December 7th. And that's why you're being inundated with ads right now, because they're trying to get people to switch from competing products. But what's made all this necessary, and it's important that I point this out, what's made all this necessary, all of the private coverage around Medicare, mm-hmm. are the significant gaps in the Medicare program. There are financial gaps in straight government-issue Medicare that the average person should not risk. They really shouldn't. And so what we're looking for now is some sort of private solution that either wraps around Medicare or replaces Medicare that fills those gaps. And you can continue to think about those gaps every time you hear a politician say Medicare for all, because they're not saying what most people have, which is private Medicare for all. They're saying Medicare for all. So that's a concern, something I think about all the time.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mike Berto.
Good morning, Mr. Rattel. My question is this. Well, what do you think of the prohibition about pre-existing conditions? I mean, do you think that's a good thing that we need to keep? And I've got to say, in my personal experience, I have more trouble dealing with insurance companies who refuse to pay parts of the medical insurance that a doctor requests.
Okay, so he was asking about pre-ex. It's critical that there is a period every year where people can sign up for insurance regardless of whether they have health conditions or not. We're not always going to be able to anticipate all the bad things that have happened. I mean, I'm a cancer survivor. I've had my share of issues. I'm completely dependent on somebody letting me into a risk pool for me to have health insurance, so I know how important that is. But what we can't do is to allow people to just go on through the year and then sign up for coverage after they get sick anytime they want. If we do that, insurance will fail. The insurance marketplace can't survive open enrollment 12 months out of the year, because now you're not really selling insurance. You're actually kind of creating a social program, which is different and a different risk model. So pre-ex coverage is critical, but it needs to be regulated so that if you've got an open enrollment period, you take advantage of that.
877-217-5757. Thank you, Barry and Phil. Your number for Talk Louisiana is universal wherever you are on the planet, and we can also send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We'll talk with Mike Berto about some other matters, including some challenge grants, medical marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
And Blue Cross may be acquiring, looks like it will be acquiring Vantage Health. So we'll hear from Mike Berto about all those and more. If you have something on your mind that I didn't discuss, you have an opportunity. I see a line open, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana on WRKF. 877-217-5757 is your number, and the email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Mike Berto, Chief Healthcare Economist, Blue Cross Blue Shield Louisiana, is with us for another segment, and we go to Bill in University Hills. Hi, Bill. You're on the air with Mike Berto.
Hey, I'm a state employee. I'm using the HSA for my health insurance that's available to us. A couple of years, I'll become 65, and I guess I'll have to make a Medicare decision.
Yes.
And if I choose Medicare, I'm not eligible to use my HSA anymore to participate in the HSA. I'm just wondering what my decision criteria should be on this.
Well, I always tell people, and I can't, you know, I'm not an agent. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I always tell people in your situation to start with your employer. Typically, employers are very generous and subsidize insurance in a big way, and we appreciate their efforts and their expenditure very much. And so I always tell people, when I turn 65, the first thing I'm going to do is go to talk to my HR folks at work and find out what my options are for them. And then if you don't see anything there that works for you, then you can move on to talking to an agent that offers post-Medicare products. But always start with your employer. That's my
I'm concerned on the Medicare side, because if I don't participate in Medicare, then I can never participate in Medicare. Is that correct?
My understanding is that there's a penalty if you enroll late, but I'm not sure that they would say you can never participate.
Got it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the call. 877-217-5757, talk@talklouisiana.org. John in New Road says, can the healthcare system survive skyrocketing illness costs from obesity lifestyles?
Certainly that's a concern. We identify multiple chronic conditions that are enhanced by obesity. It's a real challenge because we can look at people, for example, who develop type 2 diabetes, and we can find physiological things they have in common, whether it's obesity or high blood pressure or blood sugar that fluctuates a lot or a lack of exercise. But there's nothing that's determinative. So there's nothing I can point to and say, this is the mechanism where you move from being unhealthy to being a type 2 diabetic. We just observe it, and we know it happens, and we know there are certain things that increase your risk. And, of course, at the top of the pile is obesity, lack of exercise, and fluctuating blood pressure. All of that moves you towards diabetes. And, no, we can't afford, when insulin is going for $2,000 a month, we certainly can't afford to have a third of the country on being insulin-dependent diabetics. No.
And Mike is a consumer of health care, as we all are, but he is a cancer survivor, and he's told me and said he wouldn't mind if I told the masses, you're undergoing a procedure tomorrow.
Yeah, actually, I'm having cataract surgery tomorrow. And one of the things that struck me when I was talking to my eye doctor, I went to see him maybe a month ago, and I have a cataract in my right eye that they've been monitoring for a while, and he's offered to fix it on several occasions. And this time when I said, you know, let's get it done, they offered me surgery in about a week and apologized because it would take so long. I have a friend who's in and out of the Canadian system as he moves. He's a nurse, and he travels from Canada back to the U.S. And if you get cataract surgery there, it's considered elective. It might be 6 months or 8 months or longer. So one of the benefits of our expensive healthcare system is you don't have to wait nearly as long for things that you want to get fixed.
Pat in Denham Springs. Pat, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mike Berto.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoy your show tremendously. I was listening and I heard, I think the previous caller inquired about being locked out of Medicare or if he didn't go on it at 65, and the answer was, well, there may be a penalty. I think, because I didn't go on Medicare until I was 70, but I was still on the my employer's plan. I think the penalty only applies if you go uninsured. I wonder if your in-house guest there could clarify that.
Thank you, Pat.
Sure. No, I can't clarify that.
Okay.
I'm not an expert on Medicare, and I don't want to tread on that ground.
All right.
That's okay.
Well, thank you for the call, Pat. A listener has asked a question that you were prepared for about medical marijuana.
Sure.
How does that come into play in the health insurance system?
Well, we've noticed something very, very innovative happening in the market for medical marijuana. A British company has gotten FDA approval and now DEA approval for cannabinoid oil, the CBD, which is considered the medicinal part of marijuana, the one that was originally isolated for certain horrible strains of epilepsy and for certain types of anxiety. And so now, very soon, you'll be able to go to your regular doctor and get a regular prescription, which you can have filled at a regular pharmacy for cannabinoid oil that's been purified to FDA standards. And when you compare that to the market in states that have legalized marijuana recreationally, and you see people ordering CBD oil on the internet or from other sources, it makes me think that consumers are going to quickly figure out that they would rather have, you know, something that's been approved and purified and has somebody standing behind it over time. So we need to see how that's going to play into different states' efforts to grow their own marijuana and create their own CBD oil.
Now, will medical marijuana be covered by insurance policies?
Well, when something comes through a normal prescription, yes, absolutely. So I anticipate that you'll see early next year insurance carriers adding, the drug is called Epidiolex, adding Epidiolex to their formularies because it's gone through the processes and it's actually not even very restrictive for a doctor to prescribe. It's a low priority prescription for a doctor. It's not tightly regulated. It's not like, you know, a Schedule I drug like an opioid. It's very simple for a doc to write you a script for Epidiolex in the appropriate circumstances.
Very interesting that marijuana will now be covered by insurance in some cases.
Well, let's just call it an extract. There are about 85 compounds in cannabis that you can isolate, and this is very one compound tight, extraction. And so let's just say that one particular compound is found to be very valuable medicinally for certain cases, and that's the kind of thing insurance companies look at.
All right. A listener, Hal, has sent me a note about Blue Moon and marijuana, and I just Googled Blue Moon marijuana. It says the inventor of Blue Moon has launched three marijuana-infused drinks that promise intoxication without the alcoholic headache.
How about that?
Available in Colorado.
Of all places.
That would be illegal in Louisiana, but what happens if you buy it in Colorado and take it across state lines? I don't know.
We noticed a case. There was a huge blow-up on the internet about this guy who bought 8 pounds of marijuana in Colorado and brought them to Mississippi for whatever reason. 8 pounds is a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fill up the back of your car. And they were very angry that he got arrested and sentenced to 10 or 15 years in jail because he wasn't bright enough to realize that Colorado's laws and Mississippi's laws were very different. So I think we're still at the wild, wild west stage of marijuana legalization, and it's going to require a little bit of thought.
And these challenge grants, something you wanted to talk about, and it's certainly a good discussion point.
It's awesome. A group called New Orleans Health Innovators, in partnership with Ochsner Foundation, with Blue Cross, and several other entities, have put together funding to try to attract bioinnovators, people who develop biotechnology, to the New Orleans marketplace, to Louisiana in general. And last year, they set up a contest where technological digital innovators could apply. The challenge last year was move the needle on diabetes, which is a big problem here. The company that won the grant last year has a gadget you can put on your wrist that'll continually monitor your blood pressure, rather blood sugar, blood glucose levels, without piercing your skin. I mean, it's almost like a tricorder from Star Trek. And the grant, they use in that money to miniaturize it. And when they're done, their hope is to get that gadget to look like a Fitbit, basically, something about an inch wide that'll fit on your wrist, that'll talk to your smartphone and continually monitor your glucose levels to let you know when you need to give yourself a shot or when you need to eat something without having to stick yourself 20 times a day. And this year's grant, completely different, they went after social determinants of health. Now, I don't know if you know this, we have this problem where we take two patients that have similar illness, we give them the exact same treatment, and we get very different outcomes. And when we drill through that, the person who's having the poorer outcome typically doesn't have support at home. In other words, they don't have access to healthy food. They don't have transportation. They don't have the infrastructure necessary to keep them engaged in the healthcare system. So this year's challenge was, how do we collect data on that social deficiency for those people who are suffering so that we can turn that around and make that part of insurance programs and make it part of the healthcare system to try to equalize some of those social issues that stop people from getting well?
And about a year ago, you announced right from that chair that you were on a personal healthcare odyssey. How is that going?
Woo, that's a battle. I've joked in the past that, you know, people say you've fought your weight all your life. Well, I kind of surrendered to my weight for many years and just said, you know, I'm going to worry about something else. But a year ago, I got on the scale one day and the number hit 300. And I looked at it and I went, oh, that's got to go. And that was the breaking point for me. I'm still holding steady. I lost 10% of my body weight last year. I haven't lost any more than that, but I haven't gained it back either. So I'm feeling pretty good about where I am now. Once the holidays are over, I'll be able to refocus, you know, on moving, driving that number south again, because I'm still carrying too much weight. But I feel so much better than I did last year at this time.
You're a guy who does not look obese, but you're 270, right?
You're just not looking close enough.
270 and about, what, 6 feet tall?
I'm a hair over 6 feet, about 270. I've always had a big frame, so people tend not to notice how heavy I am, but I'm a big guy. I need to lose some weight.
Well, and that's probably the biggest healthcare issue in the country right now is people who are overweight, and it includes a lot of young people, some of whom are playing college football. Have you looked at some of these linemen? My goodness.
They're serious.
We'll be back after this pause with more Talk Louisiana. Thank you, Mike Berto. And your number is 877-217-5757.